prayer first. More prayer. Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for just revealing by your spirit, giving us understanding of your word. And we just thank you for unity and freedom in the room. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so when Abner was here, I think that was about 6 or 7 weeks ago, God put something on my heart, which is worship. And so I was like, God, me? because I'm not a worship leader. I'm not on the worship team. I feel very unqualified. I feel comfortable in my own walk with worship with God, but how do I talk about that? So, and we've talked about before how he's here, even if we can't feel him. So it's amazing when his tangible presence is here. But he's here in our midst because we're gathered together, whether we feel him or not. He's faithful. He's good, whether we see it or not. Has anybody heard of a person named Havilah Cunnington?
Cunningham.
Okay. Well, she shared on how to message prep, and I just want to share a couple of things from that, if that's okay. She said that people want you to lead them to practical application, like how can I apply this to my life? And she said, think about one sentence that you want them to walk away with and repeat. So instead of a sentence, I think I'm just going to end on a scripture for us to repeat together. And she also said that people teach either topical text or expository line by line. So example one is a moment in the Bible, like David killing Goliath. Another example would be like a movement or a storyline in the Bible. And then the third, a mystery. So leaving the people with a question. Mine's definitely going to be topical because I have this topic of worship on my heart. So I just want to remind you guys of an exhortation that Danny gave a while back in worship, and he was telling us to just close our eyes and do this motion, like, come, Lord, and he referred to it as, like, rolling taffy, and so that's a good way, you know, arms out like this, receiving, praising the Lord, or, you know, sometimes I feel like God just wants me to be still in his presence, to stand still or sit still, not really do anything with my hands. For me personally, I imagine God sitting on a throne and I'm like bowing down in his feet, worshiping him. Or I'll imagine like a big throne sort of in the ceiling and he's sitting there just pleased and inhabiting our praises. And then sometimes I imagine him like walking around the room saying that he's pleased. So, I'm just so thankful that we can worship him freely past the outer gates. And it's all about our heart. So just do what you think pleases him. Amen. So I was thinking about, well, what do I know about worship? How can I share on that? I went to my concordance, and I think I've shared with you guys before, if you don't already know, it's anytime you're thinking about a topic in the Bible, you want to know what God has said about it, how many times has he said it in the Bible, the concordance is kind of alphabetical. And normally when I go to find out more on something, I just skip over the Old Testament and I just go straight to the New Testament. But I did the opposite this time. And before I get to that, I searched up Bill Johnson and worship, and he had two sermons. One was True Worship, and then I think it went into a second message, and then the other one was Worship in All Seasons. So if it's okay, I'm going to share a couple scriptures and nuggets from that with you guys. And the first scripture is Psalm 8:2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou might still the enemy and the avenger. And then Matthew 21:16. And said unto them, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? So he's quoting the psalmist in Psalm 8, and in Psalm 8 it says, ordained strength. And in Matthew 21 it says, perfected praise. So Jesus is either misquoting the Bible or he's giving insight onto what the psalmist meant. So I looked it up. He was saying that praise in the scripture means story, like a child telling a story. And definitely the suckling would be like a child because they're still that small. Babes, I looked up, and it actually means, it has the word child and in parentheses childish or immature Christian. So out of the mouths of immature Christians and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise or stories. And it's really important to give our stories and testimonies of how God, what he's done for us. And praise is the way to personal strength. All right, so the next one is John 3:11. So our stories must be told. They must be proclaimed. Our testimonies must be declared. In worship, we magnify the Lord. It means to make bigger, but we can't make him any bigger than he already is. So we make him bigger in the circumstances in our life. Praise invites him to do what otherwise might not be done. Yesterday, my aunt called me, and she said, well, have you gone to get the blood pressure machine? Have you prepared for your message? Have you done all your school stuff and everything I said no to? I kind of had like a lazy weekend. Thursday, I found out like 1 o'clock that the Denver River might flood, and so school was closed Friday, and I was so thankful because I needed that extra day. I left work Thursday crying, and so I was just kind of maybe tired, maybe, I'll be honest, maybe a little depression and sadness. I don't know if it's like the weather change or an incident that happened. Yeah, and when she asked me all these things, have you done this? I was like, no. And she's like, you're such a procrastinator. It's true, some people, they'll be given a task and they'll like work on it right away and get it done quickly. And I'm like, well, I have 2 days and 5 hours and 3 minutes and 20 seconds, or I'll wait to the last minute. But I did tell you that about 6-7 weeks ago, this was on my heart. And with this message from Bill Johnson, I was thinking about when I was writing these notes, how when we were in Brazil, Kenny noticed me just like writing down everything he would say. But he also said that we have a role in unfolding his sovereign plan. If we do not preach the gospel, he's not coming back to do it for us. We know man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from his mouth. Our life is in his voice. It's from the mouth of God. He said, miracles happen not when you target the miraculous, but when you target giving him glory and worship. You can distort his goodness, but you cannot exaggerate it because it is beyond measure. Do not do things in worship for performance. Do them because they are right and they are true. Don't try to market every prophetic song because in the moment it's alive. The breath of God is on that phrase or that moment. When we are willing to be less perfect, we become more perfect. Perfection equals religion. Excellence is kingdom. Excellence is anchored in what is alive and what is true. And if we anchor ourselves into what God is breathing on, we will end up with things that look like perfection because we were striving for excellence. All right, and then Psalm 102:18. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. It's a prophecy saying a people yet to be created. So if we go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So we're a new creation, and in 1 Peter 2:9 it says, a chosen race, born again people of the creation of God into newness of life. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we're new from the inside out through a rebirth experience, and we were created to praise for the purpose of worship. I'm going to go to Isaiah 62:10. If I'm going too fast, just let me know. Isaiah 62:10. Go through the gates, prepare you the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. And if you go back a couple chapters, 60:18, chapter 60, verse 18, it says, violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. And gates are like the place of entrance and access, and the gates are called praise. Make sure that God gets all of the credit for anything good that happens. Make sure you worship when no one is watching. If you want big breakthroughs at a church or during worship, then get a breakthrough when you are by yourself.
Amen.
Praise and worship is an extraordinary weapon of war. I'm not going to turn there, but that's in 2 Chronicles 20:22. Don't worship because you want something back. Worship is a response and an acknowledgement of worth. Worship is based on who he is, not on circumstances or how you feel. He's not invested in flattery. He's interested in the sacrifice of the heart. So back to my story at work. I shared with you guys, I was just kind of tired. Maybe I needed some more iron or protein, but I didn't feel like praying. I didn't feel like worshiping. I didn't feel like forgiving. And then last night, I get notifications when Hillsong goes live, and I listened to him, but I just didn't feel like it. And I know that when you don't feel like it, that's when you really should. And he talked about fruitfulness and loving life because of God. So over this unforgiveness situation that has happened many times with someone at work, I just asked God to tame my tongue, and because sometimes people will take your words and twist them. You got to be careful who you share, open up to. So just being mindful of that. And then James 3:8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. So we really can't do that on our own. We have to have God's help to help us tame our tongue. So back to the concordance and looking up Old Testament scripture. If you'll go to Exodus 34:14. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. And I looked up the word worship in the Hebrew, and it's shakal. It's S-H-A-C-H-A-H. Have you shared that with us before, Ronnie? I think so. I thought it kind of sounded familiar, but it means to bow or crouch down in reverence, to do obeisance, deference, respect, or humble submission, a movement of the body like a bow down, bowing at the altar or curtsy. All right. Deuteronomy 26:10. And we've heard this for, we had our offering. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God. So just remembering to give our first fruits cheerfully and in worship. All right, 1 Chronicles 16:23. And that's after Kings. Sing unto the Lord all the earth, show forth from day to day his salvation, declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods.
Amen.
And if we skip down to verse 34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever, or mercy. And that's the same exact scripture in Psalm 136:1. Verse 34, 1 Chronicles 16:34. And then the last one that I wanted us to read together is Psalm 29:2. We can just read Psalm 29:2-4 together. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The glory, the God of glory, thunders. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. All right. That was pretty much all that I prepared. I didn't.
Would everybody just bow your heads for just a second? I'm going to ask Casey to pray a blessing over you, that we would all grow in our worship with God, just individually. Our time with God when no one else sees. Can you just pray that? I'll hold the mic for you.
Lord, we thank you again that we can just freely worship you. No one has to do it for us. God, that we can just come to you and bless your name and lift you up, no matter if it's on Sunday morning or when we're at home, just you and us, God. Thank you for just being pleased over your children, God. Thank you for the opportunity to spend time with you and hear your voice. And thank you for just the opportunity to grow in you and be more like you. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.